Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Consciousness Shift, and happy winter solstice. Happy Yule, everyone out there. We hope you have a wonderful season and time and many blessings. And my name is Nicole Tomasini. I am joined by my lovely co-host, Gwendolyn Barry.
Hi.
Hi, Gwen.
Hey. Yeah, I'll go there.
who's having a hot day down in Florida.
Humid day. Humid day. Not hot, but humid.
We'll take it. And today we are joined soon enough, not here yet, but Nathaniel Stiles, also known as Chief Nana, will be joining us to share many things on the Orisha's World Peace Initiative, as well as his new PBS special, part of a documentary called Sacred Journeys, that is airing on December 30th. And you can find the trailer link on the show post page. There you go.
They're having a huge celebration down in Miami today, part of the Orisha World Peace and Healing Initiative, and it's really huge. And in Miami, down in Ocean Village, which is Nathaniel's bailiwick there, his project, the part of it is going on, and there are people from several different island cultures. And of course, it's the Yoruba from the African anchor of it in Nigeria and Ghana, all through Africa. And then the island traditions that have from Santeria to Lukumi to Voodoo to, you know, there's just all sorts of traditions. But today, all of these folks are gathering in the name of world peace and healing, and it's a huge festival.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing for the world right now.
Yeah, that's the best wish I can think of for winter solstice in 2014 is, you know, just warmth and community and peace. We really require peace.
Yeah.
From home to the street to the nation.
Within and without. Well, we have a caller, area code 786, might be Chief Nana, is it?
I don't know.
That is I.
Fantastic. Welcome.
Just bragging
on. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Nana, tell us what is. Well, first of all, you should really know that Nathaniel, your call letters, I always say call letters. Aren't I awful?
Flying aircraft or something.
Right.
tell us what hat are you wearing today, darling?
What hat am I wearing? I guess you would best say representing the Yoruba kingdom in the diaspora. Yes. And when we say today is symbolic of many things. I know today we are celebrating the Orisha community globally coming together with an intention to channel the positive energy of the great divine Orisha Obatala, the spirit of the white cloth and cleansing and healing our global community. And in addition, we are also commemorating the sacred journey that being featured on PBS on December 30th, the culminating journey, which is ours to Oshunoshogbo. And actually, it's really the first time that an African pilgrimage has been acknowledged along with other substantial world pilgrimages, including a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to Hajj, to Japan, to India. So it's really symbolic of all of our the elders coming together, and I'm just honored to be a part of that.
That's wonderful. I did see the last installment with the temples of Japan.
Right. Wasn't that amazing?
Yes. Well, I ran over to it when I saw it posted on your page.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. What did you think?
Well, you know, these are important film documents. They really are, because they allow people to experience the spiritual expression of a culture, yes, but the inclusion of all humanity that is possible now through these kinds of documents is extraordinary, and it pulls us together as a global community, no matter what your spiritual embrace is. I think that once these documents come out in film and in festivals, because there's small towns in Louisiana that are probably celebrating along with you right now. I mean, it's reaching more people than ever, all the different expressions from culture and ancestors, which to me is just absolutely wonderful, because the lessons there are about community, which is what we're all striving for.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it just makes us so much richer when we have these experiences with all these different spiritual expressions.
Yes.
So you just came from the celebration today?
Actually, I am going to be heading out as soon as we finish, so I figured I would spend about 30 minutes with you all. And today is the culminating day of the Orishas United for Healing and World Peace. It's a day that culminates a period of that began on the 10th of December with all of the various traditional African spiritual expressions coming together, wearing white and meditating for world healing and peace. And it's culminating with a beautiful ceremony in the southwest section of Miami, being spearheaded by Willie Ramos, along with various members of the community who contributed to make this a success. And it's the first time that an initiative like this has really gone viral and come together, you know, to express religious and spiritual tolerance and unity, which is so important at times like these.
Yeah.
Tell me, Nana, can you tell me what the ceremony will be like? Can you explain to the listeners what you will be experiencing?
Okay. The Obatala is one of the oldest of the Orisha, the father, the wise father. We can say even the spirit of Santa Claus somewhat parallels that of Obatala, who brings gifts. It's also the spirit of the white cloth. So worshippers, priests, priestesses of Obatala are adorned in pure white, or Orisha Funfun. Funfun is white. There will be offerings that are made to Obatala, various offerings, foods, white color, fruit, beautiful flowers, drumming, dancing, all in the spirit of healing and purification. So food, music, dancing, and community unity, people coming from different spiritual expressions.
What kind of offerings do you use? I'm most interested in hearing what kind of, like, the specific flowers, the scents, the foods you eat, the, you know, the significance of all those things. Can you share?
Oh, yes. One of the things is that as the tradition traveled throughout the diaspora, the practices and the objects that are used have changed a little from the source, but the beautiful thing is how it's creolized and homage is paid to the origins. There's an expression that regardless of how big a tree gets, how many branches, the tree never sees its roots, but it's aware that if the roots die, so does the tree. So the beautiful thing is the homage that's paid to the root in Yoruba land. Some of the foods that are traditionally used are the shea butter, which is actually extracted a nut from a fruit. So you eat the fruit, there's a nut inside, and it takes about 15 years for this true tree to mature and bear the fruit. And an oil is extracted. Usually it's done on a communal basis that people will bring and work together in cooperatives to develop and extract the shea butter. So shea butter is used. White yams are used. The kola nut, there's a white kola nut that's used. Efun. Efun is a sacred white chalk. They're used for the celebration of Lobatala, and many other things. Almost any food item that you can imagine that's white in color are objects of Lobatala. The aloe plant, you know, the gel inside is a clear, pure form. The snail, Igbin, snail, the fluid from the snail are also used for Lobatala and the feeding of the spirit. Ivory, you know, the shrines will be adorned with ivory. The elephant being one of the most fierce yet gentle creatures in the forest is symbolic of Obatala. So these types of very clear illusionary images all tap into that vibrational frequency of clarity, of divine essence, of wealth, of purity. And this is the sacred energy that brings everyone and everything together.
Whoa. Now, I imagine that I'm real interested in what flowers will be down there with you today.
Carnations, magnolias, white roses.
Uh-huh.
There are particular ferns that... that will be also used, and we know that traditionally the aromatherapy, the perfume industry, as we know in ancient times, was a very noble industry, and even the names that were called were really reflective of the energies that were transmitted by the vibration, such as Joy by Jean Patou. You know, the smells created a feeling, a vibration of happiness. Then there was Magie Noire, which was also a French black magic, and it was a very heavy and pungent scent. So, you know, your Florida water will be used today, a lot of Florida water. You know, so just very light, clear, beautiful essences.
Will there be?
And you'll just see a sea of people in beautiful white clothing, some traditional, some contemporary, some basic American Western clothing. I'm sure beautiful white linen, guayabatas, you know, so just a vast array of the cultural expressions as they've been preserved throughout the diaspora. Cowrie shells are also images you'll see. So just beautiful, beautiful, pure white, crisp, clean energy.
Nice. Well, that aligns, too, with many people's ideas of the shortest day of the year, the solstice,
exactly.
And winter. Yeah.
And as with that, tapping into that energy, that's why it's even more significant to pray for healing and world peace, because in these dark days, the lunar cycle, you know, it's necessary to elevate the vibration and for us to collectively work together to lift the spirits of our communities, our families, and our loved ones. And so it's even more apropos that during the day of the solstice, such an incredible ritual and public coming together would take place.
Wow. Very nice. Very nice. And may I ask, everybody puts together something personal to offer, right?
Yes, yes.
May I ask what your personal offering will be?
No.
But if you were to give an offering, what would be?
The energy and to give an offering, what would you suggest?
Well, fruits, money, you know, because part of what happens is that the offerings are used within the community to further the spiritual work, to help a family in need. So, you know, that the energy of money is one that's very important. So, to you know, it could be placed in an envelope and presented to the shrine. Cigars, rum, because rums, spirits are used to invoke the essence, the energy of the deity. And so those things are, you know, you never have enough of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
White cloth for the priests and priestess, the host priests and priestess or the elders. White cloth could be given, you know, be it linen, beautiful lace, natural fibers. Yeah.
Natural. Okay.
And based on, for instance, Gwen, if you were going, I would say to prepare some samples of Daughters of Isis collection or the Ancestor Aromacology. So whatever you do should really be an expression that's coming from within. That's why it was so hard for me just to throw something out there. You know,
why?
The most profound is based on your personal ashe or spiritual energy or the ancestral custom or tradition that you carry, that you're the custodian of, to express or share something based on that tradition. So, for instance, a drummer, their offering could very well be to perform for the Orisha and for the community.
Uh-huh.
You know, if the person within the community who's a landscaper florist, they provided a lot of the flowers. Yes. Some of the spiritual singers, they also, they're singing for the Orisha today. And so it's really communal, you know, based on where you are, your station in life, and the offering that you feel that can make the greatest impact in terms of your personal legacy and contribution to the sustenance of the culture and the perpetration, you know, that is what you expressed.
Okay. So for me, creating something special for the day might be to remember some of our South Florida flowers that are white, and
yes,
choosing those scents to combine to offer up for the healing and wisdom and world peace.
Exactly.
Got you.
That sounds lovely, Gwen. Maybe you should think about that for next year or... Well,
and how long, this is the culmination tonight?
It started at 10 o'clock this morning, and mm-hmm. it ends at 6 p.m.
Okay.
So a full
yeah.
day. Obatala's number is 8, one of the numbers, and so 8 hours of ritual ceremony.
Ah,
and learning, you know, it's a practical science and artistry. So in participating, you know, one is able to grasp the practices and the traditions of various cultures that express through, you know, traditional song, music, dance, etc. So similar to going to Native American powwow, you know,
yeah,
and you have the various nations that who will dance. So a similar vibrational energy.
Nice.
All right.
Wow.
Oh, sounds lovely. We will be with you in spirit.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, what I'd love for you to do before you leave us is to explain a little bit to folks what the meaning of Ashe is.
Ashe is a reaffirmation of spiritual power, of vibrational, positive reinforcement of vibrational energy. Your Ashe is your divine spiritual essence. And so when you repeat it, you're reinforcing your particular vibrational spiritual essence or energy and extended it to the entity whom you're addressing or the topic. So when you say with Ashe, it's with positive, meaningful affirmation.
There you go.
But it also describes your divine essence. So when we speak of your personal Ashe, it's your personal intuitive, ancestral, and primordial energy that resonates through you.
Like a namaste.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And who are you going with today? Is Emmanuel with you?
Yes, several of the Queen Mothers and various members of the community. So, yes, we will have an entourage.
Wonderful. And before you go, if you could talk a little bit about the sacred journeys and tell people about the...
Your experience, yeah.
Okay, well, we were contacted by the PBS. They worked along with a production company called Maya Vision International that's based in the United Kingdom. And the award-winning author and host, Bruce Feiler, who's a New York Times best-selling author. He's written several books and produced several spiritual documentaries. One of very popular for PBS was called Walking the Bible. So the various chapters in the Bible, basically one would walk them physically, and he would narrate the journey. So in this case, Harvard University School of Divinity and African Studies, the dean basically presented my name, and I was just sort of very, very honored to be a part of it. They were aware of the Oshun's Village, an African Caribbean Cultural Arts Quarter, a state designation that we were able to make happen in Miami, and based upon that, they knew that we were very forthright in our efforts to create a bridge between Yoruba land in Nigeria and the diaspora, specifically South Florida. So the Sacred Journey actually opens with a group of multicultural diverse practitioners from various traditional African faiths, from Cuba, Brazil, America, Trinidad and Tobago, Haiti, Jamaica, Venezuela, and we were all at the mouth of the Miami River, basically doing rituals to Oshun with drumming and dancing. And the film chronicles my journey from Miami, Oshun Village, Miami, to the Oshun Oshogbo Festival, where over 100,000 people attend annually, and it's really the one of the largest festivals and pilgrimages in West Africa. And so you're able to see traditional life in Nigeria. They also feature two young women who are being initiated to the goddess Oshun. So you're able to candidly speak with them before they initiate it, as well as the process afterwards. There are several talks that are inserted in the documentary with leading scholars of African and traditional Yoruba practice. So the full, it culminates with the pomp and ceremony of the actual festival in the UNESCO-designated Osun Osogbo Sacred Grove.
Wow.
So it's a one hour of beautiful imagery, very, very enchanting sound, just a 1 hour of just very intense exposure. You know, one is able to virtually travel from the comforts of your computer screen or your living room.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah.
It certainly does reinforce the awareness that we do have a global consciousness and we're using it right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just having the opportunity on platforms like this, Consciousness Shift on Blog Talk, really sort of demonstrates the power of technology and how we're able to, a few of us are able to make a tremendous difference promoting any movement, you know, by multiplying the message or amplifying it, shall I say. So thank you so much for this opportunity, and we ask everyone to tune in, Sacred Journeys PBS, throughout the month of December, culminating with the Sacred Journey to Osun Osogbo on Tuesday, the 30th of December, on the local PBS station, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
I sure will. I hope everyone does. I mean, it's a wonderful series.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you. And if you ladies have an opportunity, be sure to put the link to the specifically the Osun Sacred Bells so they can get an idea. You know, part of my passion has always been preserving the indigenous artistry, you know,
yeah,
and creating.
Hello?
That's a brief segment with me, with some of the bronze casters, so it will give one a taste of what to expect on the final episode on the 30th.
Nice.
Okay. Great. I wish you a wonderful journey today, and I hope you will remember me.
Oh, definitely. I will remember all of our prayers. Thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Chief Nana. Have a wonderful time.
Ashe.
All right. Ashe. Thank you. Odabo.
Nice. Wow. Well, anything we can do to help the planet out in all the different ways and traditions, and that Sacred Journeys just sounds like such a great, thank God for PBS, really, to help the world consciousness. And to see there are so many ways to have a sacred journey. And I think that'll really help people to realize, you know, no matter where you come from, what you look like, what you believe in, that your journey is sacred, period.
It is. I'm blessed to have known, have had Chief Nana in my life for over 20 years, going on 24, really. And, what he has always said consistently all through our friendship for so many years?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he calls or whenever we see each other, you know, how are you? And I'll go, oftentimes, too, it's like, oh, well, you know. And then there's those days of, I'm wonderful, how are you? And every time his answer is, I am blessed.
Yeah.
He is an incredibly generous and gifted holy man in his tradition. Mm-hmm. And he does a wonderful job of bringing generosity into the community, really.
And steadiness. He has such a great, steady, positive energy stream going all the time.
He does. He doesn't give up. It took him many years to establish Ocean's Village in Miami.
I was just thinking of that when he was talking about it. I thought, wow, here we are. It's not only happening and flourishing, but PBS knows about it and contacts him because of it. And I remember a couple years ago when Nathaniel was working on this, he's working on getting the village together, and we're talking to the government and we're talking to the, you know, the lawmakers, and we want to make this. And I realized that this is really that sort of steady energy of just focusing on what you want. Like he said, we made this happen. We made it. And he's right.
To
just focus on that and see it happening. It happens. I mean, 2 years later, blah, 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 fantastic. It's all working out. And you're getting PBS, part of the Sacred Journeys that, you know, will go down in history. Those things are box-setted. So
well, I got to say in being there for quite a while, it's taken many, many years. I know years and years ago him walking Ocean's Village down through legislation with a legislator who backed him, and getting that backing and being a part of the community and having to deal with the political side of it and remaining always the holy man. You know, always. He's not a diplomat. He's really a holy man. He's a shaman. And he does what his life calls him to do.
Yeah. And a great sense of humor. In the trailer that's posted in the on the page, the radio page, he's talking about how twins are sacred to Oshun, and are twins or triplets, any kind of multiple birth, are seen as sacred in to Oshun, and they make these bells that ring and bring Oshun fertility. And the guy interviewing him has twins already, and Nathaniel says, "Well, you know, I don't know if you want to ring the bell. You already have twins." That's great. It's a great end to the trailer. I just ruined it well, not really, because, you know, the visuals are helpful, but
he and what's really wonderful about expressing many diverse cultures, not just the diaspora from Africa, but really, I mean, from Celt to Tutane to Aborigine to First Nations to their so many spiritual walks that are embraced within a community we call a spiritual community, or that New Age community, which, as Nathaniel is very much a part of, an active member of, too, Samhain, which is a cross-quarter day for those of us who practice a more Celtic ancestry. He shared that with us. He shared that with me and my family this year. And he brings his ancestry right with him, you know. So it's wonderful to see how many of these circles of so many different people cooperating with each other and honoring each other's ancestral and really what the ancestors are always telling us in any tradition is to make it our own in the moment, the now. And having folks like Nathaniel and yourself and so many of our friends that do this makes a huge difference right now.
Yeah.
It heals.
And speaking of that, for winter solstice that we are coming up on tomorrow, what are some of the things that either are traditions or that you think are a good idea to anchor in the energy of winter solstice?
Well, basically what we're talking about is the shortest day of the year here in the northern, for Yuletide in the northern hemisphere. And it's about the Sun King returning, because now each day after tomorrow on Monday with a brand new moon, we will be walking towards more and more light every day. It does signify winter is here, and yet it tells you that the sun is returning.
Wow.
Which is a really wonderful moment for when you think about our ancestors, you know, who were having peat fires and gathering together just to stay warm in, you know, many, many years back. This was a moment when the storytelling was kicked up a notch. All of the labors of imagination began to, this is when we begin to make our plans and dreams for the planting season to come. So it's a time when, you know, if you're going to celebrate Yule in the context of ancestral traditions, you might want to remember that this is a time of imagination, and anything that opens your imagination, like the stories of your ancestors, whatever appeals to you, and look at the storytelling that's going on around us now anyway, you know, some wonderful art. This is a time when that becomes the spotlight. And it's really, really a wonderful energy this year, because at 6:03 p.m. in Eastern time zone is the moment of solstice, the alignment of solstice. And between then and the new moon on Monday would be a really wonderful time to sit down and make a list of the projects that you wish to put together for the new year and for the coming spring. Create the seeds to plant.
Wonderful. And especially during a celebration, I was just thinking, my roommate has been wanting to take me out for my birthday since March, and we're either going tonight or tomorrow, but I was feeling tomorrow, and I'm thinking, you know, what a great thing if we either discuss things that we want to do during a vibration of celebration to really facilitate those manifestations and start them on a good level.
Yes, and the celebration of Yule or winter solstice is where most of the traditions for Christmas come from. The singing a carol, the storytelling, the eating and giving of gifts. This is all very ancient, all very Celt too.
And that's a much better, well, in my opinion, a much better vibration for the gift giving and the eating and these things instead of, you know, football and gluttony. Let's make it about, you know, love and peace and prosperity for all, you know.
This is true. This is quite true. One of the most important things you can remember, though, that's come out of our Christmas traditions, and I say this every year, tomorrow I intend to be celebrating solstice. I mean, I'll do a little meditation and put up my own little altar, and I'm going to make dinner for my sister and myself and maybe the boys. And I watched this really great movie that everybody watches. It's a Wonderful Life.
I know, that's your great tradition. It really is. It's great.
Celebrate Clarence Oddbody.
Awesome. Well, we actually have a caller. I now know this woman's area code. Her name is Arlene, and she comes from Healing Paradigms. And Arlene, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Hello. Excellent.
I'm
Hi,
so glad
you
guys
are
getting to meet. Yeah, Arlene, Gwen, Arlene.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Arlene is also a healer. She works with a few people down in Maryland, right?
Yeah, Baltimore, Maryland, and also in D.C., yeah.
Nice. And what is the other one? One Love, One...
One Love, One Connection, One Us. We do relationship coaching. Relationship coaching as well as, overall, we teach people how to communicate in better ways so that they have a more conscious and loving exchange. And, I'm really enjoying the work. So, it's a beautiful thing.
How are you going to be celebrating solstice?
Well, now that you, now that you've mentioned it, I think that there are some intentions that I'm putting for 2015. So I'm going to go ahead and write down the things that I would like to see. And also there is just sort of, I do magic, so I think I'll just do a ceremony that will, you know, bring in like that new energy for the coming year.
Nice.
I'll send my blessings, and send blessings to the earth as well.
I always enjoy the fact that before I go to sleep on solstice, I always go up, if you will, and greet the Sun King coming home.
Nice.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay.
Well, we all love to see the sun coming back, you know. I like the longer days myself.
Yes, as do I. And it's so interesting that not only, it's the first day of winter, so it's like, oh, we haven't even started going into winter, but actually it's at the same time also the beginning of the end of winter, which I think is an interesting paradox, how the universe loves the paradoxes, right?
Yeah.
Beginning and the end of the beginning.
I look forward to it being daylight at 5 o'clock in the 5 o'clock during the day, because like now it's like totally dark generally around that time. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. I prefer longer days as well.
Yeah, and remembering that, you know, especially for people that have any seasonal affective disorder or, you know, really get affected by not seeing the sun or the cold, to keep that in mind, you know, that, okay, every day it's one more minute of sunlight, one more second of sunlight. So we're getting there, even though we just started. Yeah.
Do you know what I miss? What I miss is with the winter up north and the snow on the ground, especially when it's snowing a lot, when I was living in upstate New York. You could go out in twilight, or you could go out in the day, especially the overcast snowing days, or in the evening. And it was almost all as one, because all the whiteness, and if you had some moonlight, I mean, it was just a continuity. There's that feeling, and it was so cozy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was thinking about that when Nathaniel was talking about the white of the time that everyone wears white and the purity of everything. And I was like, wow, it's the same thing as when the city is covered in white and you have the moonlight and the white lighting.
I think that's New York City's most beautiful portrait, is covered in snow.
Yeah, I agree. Wow, so maybe we can take a few minutes to talk about, I was thinking to share either one good thing that has happened this year for us, and one thing that we would like to see happen, and put that out there, sort of give people an idea of just jogging the brain that way, that they can come up with their own. Do you want to start, Gwen, something really great that's happened this year?
Well, you know, the year is beginning to climax or come to its ending with some really positive things in the news, like the opening of diplomacy back with Cuba, which is huge.
Huge.
It is. it's opening a door instead of closing one. It's opening us up to, instead of non-diplomacy, there's diplomacy. I see that as a very positive beginning of something changing that could be less about all of the hardship we see going on and all of the unrest, which, in a way, these are only catalysts to bring good changes about. But still, instead of working with the Dickensian leadership that we have, and I mean that on the down low. Do you not understand what I'm saying? I saw today a post where it was very Scrooge-like on the before side instead of after, and I thought, well, you know, but the positive part about it is that it brings people back to understanding that the most important thing is kindness and community and caring for one another. Sustainability. And pointing to something changing in the wind, I would say Cuba is a real good example.
Very good example. And to piggyback on that, the New York banning fracking, I thought, was wonderful step in the right direction. Yeah. Wow. Wonderful. Arlene?
Okay. When you asked the question, were you asking about something like personal for ourselves, or are you speaking on a more global
Either way, I mean, we had a global, so let's go with a personal then.
Yeah.
Okay. So for myself, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but for myself, at the beginning of this year, I actually got into what I call the state of surrender, where I went ahead and asked, the source of creation, to, you know, that the things that I had been doing had not been working for me, and what it would have me do, and sort of the domino effect that particular request had, where all of this, all of this experiences that I had for this year were about meeting up with people, creating partnerships, and being able to rewrite my experience in my life from like the ground up. And so as I continue to walk in that particular energy, what I'm finding is that there are more opportunities that the more I surrender, and things are coming up for me organically, meaning that I don't have to do a whole lot of pushing, and just allowing myself to surrender and say, okay, this opportunity is being presented here, or this idea has come to me. So if this is the path that I'm supposed to walk, then give me the indication that I should go in that direction. And I think the most recent thing that has happened to me, in addition to the business partnerships, is just the friendships that I've been developing with people who are interested in working with me. And my business partner had actually suggested that I create a mastermind group, and I was thinking, okay, well, I think that's a great idea, but if it's going to come to me, it's going to come to me organically. And yesterday, someone came to me and asked me to be a part of their mastermind group, and that if there was anybody else that I was, you know, that I thought that would work well with what we had envisioned for each other or ourselves, that would be in support of each other, to bring them in. So, you know, that's just an example, and it just continues to grow and grow from there. So I'm looking for more of the same come 2015.
That is a really wonderful example of the path of least resistance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Wow, what a wonderful manifestation right there. And and I'll piggyback on that and say a great thing of this year was following my instincts and getting the Spirit Therapy NYC up and running. Just the path, it took 9 months, just like a baby. So so knowing that, waiting for it and letting it grow and come, it's a, right along the same lines as what you were saying, and flowing in the energy of being able to do less work, less pushing, if that's mental work or physical work or whatever, and allowing the universe to work with us and for us. That discovery, I think that's the same thing as Gwen was talking about globally, this opening up of the energy and opening up of the doors to Cuba and even Nathaniel talking about PBS doing the Sacred Journeys documentary, the opening up and the coming together. It's like the energy is here, and we've been waiting for confirmations, physical in this reality confirmations, and we're getting them, which is all we've ever really asked for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's, absolutely.
You know, this is, for me, this year has been a lot about allowing myself to release fear. That's my path of least resistance, would be releasing fear. And combined with that, it's also the knowledge of, well, it's the self-confidence to embrace the elder that I've become. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I'm right there at that doorstep. So,
yeah.
It's really, when you get there, you look and you're either going to take the step across gracefully, or they're going to have to push you through that door.
Get in there. But one way or the other, you're walking in the room. Hello. Hello.
You just don't want it to be an ass-kicking either way.
You can either stumble in or you can walk in gracefully.
No, it's really quite true. And I saw this really wonderful post on Facebook that some gentleman posted from Europe about in his room, about the honesty of description and ornamentation and illustration of the crone. And with a lot of neo-pagan and pagan artists, and there has been a tendency to make the crone look like, you know, Athena, who certainly has the crone aspect, but is not really, you know, the face of the crone. The face of the crone is the grandmother. And we don't honor that. We should be honoring the face of the grandmother. I would bring up the Council of 13 Grandmothers out there who go about bringing journeys together and sacred traditions all year long. Do you guys know about the 13 Grandmothers, the Grandmother Council?
I don't.
No.
Just Google them, and they hold workshops in many places. They're from Native American to Japanese Buddhist women to, and they hold these conferences, a lot of South American traditions and some Northern European traditions. These grandmothers hold conferences all year long that bring people, you know, to the state. They bring Gloria Steinem in to talk about what the woman's movement is now from what it was. They're wonderful elders. And the more elders that embrace their own cronehood, you know, with the reasonable nature of a little reality to it, especially image-wise, and I think that's very important.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Well, when you're sick, you get the drift.
But I think that's part of our inclusions. I forget what I was listening to, but it was right along the lines of what you're saying, that, you know, there's been a hiding away of the elders, and, you know, they can't do X, Y, and Z, so everybody's got to be, you know, 20. Oh, I think it was the Kaipacha report talking about it, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And so especially in this time when most people spend this time with their families, and
yeah.
You know, you have the elders that sit in the corner. They can't, you know, be butterflying it around, you know, talking with everyone. And I always find that, you know, if you just go up and you say something, they'll usually say something to you. You know, they have something to say, but they need you to come over and see what's going on. And no matter what they say, I mean, sometimes, you know, it can get... They have all kinds of ideas, even if it's something wacky or just like, I don't even know what you're talking about. It doesn't matter. It's a community of even just that energy. Like, you've survived. You've been around for this long.
This is also the season. Winter is the season. Winter solstice is the celebration of the elders. This is the time we cherish our elders. You know? This is their time of year, you know. So and I'll tell you what, I know more and more elders who can dance longer than I can and have longer legs than I do. So, you know, but you're absolutely right. Too many times in families, the elder is sitting aside, and that's not where they belong. They belong in the center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you get together with family, Arlene, during this time?
Sometimes. The older members of my family, many of them have crossed over. I really there's a part of me that really resonates with what you were saying, because my great grandmother, before her passing, she's one of the few people who really taught me about the power of prayer. And she had actually prayed to live to be 100, and I think she lived to be 107 years old.
Whoa.
And yeah, but the thing that I found interesting about her experience was that she grew up in a time when the elders were revered, and and they shared information. And I think that there was a part of her that partly regretted the fact that she prayed to live to be that age, because she did not quite grasp the concept that, well, she wasn't able to see that that the times were changing, that it was more geared towards the young, you know, that whole thing of tearing down the old, and you know, it's all about what's new and what's blingy and things of that nature. But when it came to information, you know, her wisdom, her wit, these were things that, because I was brought up by her and my mother in a host of an extended family, I really got the opportunity to really be in that state of being reverential to the people who really were a larger part of me growing up. And whenever I would go back home to South Carolina, I would always visit them when they were still alive. So, yeah. During the holidays, yes, I do spend time with family. When I'm not busy and having to work and do any, you know, anything when I don't have a gig that necessarily has me working during the holidays.
There you go.
Nice. Wonderful. Well, We just have a few seconds here left, so let's first of all tell everyone to check out daughtersofisis.com and spirittherapynyc.com, and lots of specials and one love, one connection,
one us.com.
Right.
And healingparadigms.com. So, yeah.
Healingparadigms.com. Wonderful. Well, thank you, everyone.
Happy solstice.
Happy solstice to you all also.
Nice to meet you, Arlene.
Nice meeting you, too. Peace and blessings to you.
Peace and blessings. And we have the Sunday show tomorrow at 6 p.m. and Spirit Therapy on Monday at 7 p.m. And we'll talk about happy times with ourselves, our friends, and our loved ones. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, and have a blessed day and happy solstice. Put those intentions out there and good cheer. Good night.
Right.
Bye-bye.